So come and worship the Lord, for we are His people, the flock that He shepherds. Alleluia. The Lord is God, mighty God, the great King of all the gods. He holds in His hands the depths of the earth and the highest mountains as well. He made the sea, it belongs now to Him. The dry land was formed by His hand. So come and worship the Lord, for we are His people, the flock that He shepherds.
Well, if you're listening for the Faith in Action program on Catholic Radio, you probably realize that, gee, that's not the normal music that they lead in with. That sounds like John Michael Talbot.
Yeah.
And there's a good reason for that.
And yeah, and we are actually so delighted to have John Michael Talbot with us on phone, via phone, from his tour. You're on tour right now, John Michael Talbot, right?
Yeah, we're just starting the first date. I'm in a delightful little place called Sugar Creek, Ohio, with the Ohio Star Theater over here. It's right in the middle of Amish country, so it's delightful. I'm going to try not to get too fat. If I show up 10 pounds heavier, you'll know what happened.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, you are going to be in town, and we'll just get that out here right now. Sunday, September 22nd at 2 p.m., that's this weekend coming up. You're going to be at the Tipton High School Auditorium, so we'll give details for how you can get tickets for that. But we are talking to the Catholic music legend of John Michael Talbot, and you know, your record label is called Troubadour for the Lord, and that's kind of what you are. Is that a fair assessment?
Oh, yeah, that's one description. I mean, people say other things about me, some of them good, some of them not so good, but that'll work, sure.
So what exactly is a troubadour, anyway?
Well, a troubadour goes all the way back to the Middle Ages, and they were traveling musicians that sang mainly kind of love song type things, secular, and Francis of Assisi picked that up, and he called himself the Troubadour of the Great King. So I stole it from St. Francis. Bob Dylan said there's nothing in music writing that's original. He stole everything. So I only steal from the best. If I can steal from St. Francis, I figure that if I can get 10% done of what he did, I'll be doing real good.
Now, I know when you, at least in the performances that I've seen with you, it's not like a stage performance where you're at one end of the room up on a stage and the people are all out there somewhere in the audience. It isn't like that when they get to, actually the people get to participate with you, right?
We were real big into crowd participation. We like to get people singing and clapping, and we got involved with Christian music, and I watched a guy named Barry McGuire.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave me the best advice I ever got, and he says, John Michael, sing to God, let God take care of the people, because He can do it better than you can. So I began just worshiping when I sing on stage, and it became a powerful experience for everybody. I kind of, through the years, just watched people who I respected work with audiences and draw them in, rather than the audience being on the outside and just watching a performer do their thing. So I like to bring the congregation in. I like to get people singing. I always tell people at a concert, we may laugh, we may cry, and do everything in between, and it's all okay. Because music stirs the heart, the soul, and that includes not only the mind, but the emotions. A lot of people come to the concerts, and they will sit out there and they'll have a good cleansing cry over God knows what. I mean, maybe a broken relationship, maybe the loss of a loved one, maybe a healing that they need to receive. And Jesus does miracles right there in the midst of it's not really a concert. It's really a more of a worship experience and a ministry experience.
So we're talking with John Michael Talbot, Catholic music legend, and I really want to ask you, you didn't grow up Catholic, right?
No, I grew up Methodist. I come from a long line of Methodist circuit riders out in eastern Oklahoma and western Arkansas, and basically my grandfather would sing, start a church in a town where there was no church. They sent him to little church, to towns where there were no churches. And he would start a church, he'd plant a church, and then he'd get it going, and then they'd send him on to another town, and he'd do that over and over. So I tell people I come by this honestly, even though I'm now a Catholic, I'm essentially doing the same kind of thing. I go in and I sing and I preach, and people get moved, and they come to Christ. They become more excited about being Christians and Catholic Christians. They become better participants in their parishes. Basically, I got involved in the early days of Christian music, 1970, oh goodness. I did my first Christian music record formally in 75. It released in 76. And I began seeing all the different forms of Christianity. They were all good people. They'd all have the Holy Spirit, and they'd all go to the Bible to try to figure out how do we follow Jesus and do it together. But they all disagreed on some major points.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, something is missing, and I began reading. I had this profound thought for a 23, 24-year-old, and that is the scripture came out of the early church. Let's go back to the early church and find out how they did it, and then let's try to apply that to our situation today. And lo and behold, when I did that, I discovered the basic, you know, foundations of what today we would call the Catholic Church. And you have to understand, I didn't want to be a Catholic. I wasn't. Yeah, I didn't even like Catholics.
Yep.
I tell the audiences I'm still working on that one.
Mm-hmm. So are we.
Yeah. But the Lord gave me a word. He says, John Michael, I want you to become a Catholic. She's my first church. I love her most dearly, but she's been sick and nearly died. And I'm going to heal her and raise her to new life, and I want you to be a part of her. So I sought out a Franciscan priest at the old Alverna Retreat Center there in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Yeah.
Father Martin Walter, he became my spiritual father, still is. You know, you only have one father. But he brought me into the church, and he brought me into Franciscan and monastic living. You know, and then I did the Lord's Supper, which was a charismatic contemporary setting of the Mass, and put it out, and the record company thought, well, this is it, you're done, you know, you've become a Catholic, so your career is over, and they put it out, and it became the biggest record in Christian music that year. So that started me off. Then I did another one called Come to the Quiet, which I recorded in the basement of a friend's house over there on the north side of Indianapolis, and brought it to the record company, and of course they wanted another one because I just had a big hit. But they listened to it, and they said, oh, this is terrible. I said, what's wrong with it? They said, there's too much space in it. Too quiet. It's too contemplative. Nobody's going to like this stuff. So I said, well, my career's over anyway. Just put it out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to go into a hermitage and read and pray and study for 10 or 20 years and figure out what God wants me to do. And they put it out, and it sold three times more than the Lord's Supper. So that kind of set the course for me. And I just kept making music as long as people wanted to hear it.
I want to talk to you a little bit about your community. Tell us just a little bit about your community and what goes on there.
Well, it's an integrated monastic community. We're called the Brothers and Sisters of Charity. We started under the Franciscans, but because we integrated all states of life into the monastery and also into the folks that live around the country, both clerical and lay, it didn't fit canonically into their existing categories, so they helped us set up a new community, just said, you guys are onto something, let's get this set up and do it right. So we set it up canonically and with civil law and all that. But what makes this unusual, We say Jesus is our founder, the scriptures our rule, our greatest law is love, guided by truth, which comes to us through the church. And the greatest expression of that is integration. So we would integrate the charismatic and the contemplative, the liturgical, the spontaneous, a call to solitude and the hermitage, and a call to contemplative community, call to contemplative community, to apostolic action, wherever the church wants us to do our ministry. And we have men and women. So we have traditional monks, traditional nuns, singles who can marry, and families, all in the monastery in Arkansas. And then we have a domestic expression of men and women who live in their own homes all around the country.
Okay.
And in several countries now. And those are both clerics and lay people of all states of life. And so we're just slowly moving along. There are lots of communities like ours in Europe, and now in South America, there's some starting there as well. But we're an unusual expression in the United States.
How large a group are we talking about? How many people are involved?
Oh, we're small. We're small. We've been as many as 30 and 40 in the monastery. Right now, I think we're at about 18 in the monastery. And then we have about 300 people who live in their own homes around the country.
We're talking with John Michael Talbot, and we're going to take a break here. And as we go in, here's a John Michael Talbot song that I know you'll recognize.
Hello, this is Archbishop Charles Thompson of the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. In sacred scripture, we're told not to hide our light under a basket, but rather to let this light of our faith shine where people can see it. Catholic radio is like a light. It lets the light of our faith shine all over central Indiana 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Catholics, non-Catholics, agnostics, even atheists just might encounter a message that could be life-changing for them. There are quite a few people who have become Catholic partly because of Catholic radio. There are a number of young men and women who are pursuing religious vocations partly because of Catholic radio, and countless Catholics who have become more in love with their faith. That's why it's important that Catholic radio stay on the air. I would ask that you pray for the success of Catholic radio and to support it however you can. Thanks for listening.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.
Here in the Midwest, a tornado can do a lot of damage. But tornadoes, with all their high winds and damage, usually pass through an area quite quickly. Imagine winds that are stronger than most tornadoes, that don't move through quickly, that stay in the same area for days, causing death and destruction day after day, only to be followed by devastating floods. That's what Hurricane Dorian did in the Bahamas. Many people there may never get back to the modest homes they had before the storm. These people need our help right now. One way to see that every dollar you donate goes directly to help is by entrusting your donation to Catholic Relief Services. Whether it's $10 or $10,000, you can make your donation quickly and easily by visiting our website, CatholicRadioIndy.org. CatholicRadioIndy.org. Remember, Jesus said, whatever you do for the least of our brethren, that you do unto me.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer. Jim Ganley's in the studio with me, as well as Catholic music legend John Michael Talbot. He's with us via phone. He is going to be in town Sunday, September 22nd at 2 p.m. at the Tipton High School Auditorium. And it is a benefit concert to benefit St. John's in Tipton. So
yeah, their church building, I think was over like 100 years old and recently had to be torn down. So at the moment, they have no church building. They're holding their masses in a gymnasium in what used to be their school there. So they do need to raise some funds. They've got a new church they've got to build.
And I'm going to go ahead and let you know how you can get tickets. You can actually just go to www.stjohnstipton.com, and you can get all the information to get tickets to see John Michael on September 22nd. So, John Michael, let me ask you this. What's your mission? What has God called you to do? And I want to talk about how you see Catholic renewal and what is authentic Catholic renewal. So what's your mission and what's authentic Catholic renewal?
Well, my mission is just to share Jesus, pure and simple. I mean, everything in the Catholic Church is based on having a personal encounter with Jesus Christ and doing that as a united people. All of our Christology, Trinitarian theology, all of our sacraments, all of our ecclesiology, all rotate around the reality of Jesus Christ and how to make Jesus a personal experience for everybody in the church, and how we can do that and stay together and not splinter off into a million different groups. So that's the central core message of what I do. Anything I do about Mary is always focused on Jesus. Anything I do about the sacraments is all focused on Jesus. Now, yeah, I think the Catholic Church needs revival. For me, what that means is an encounter with Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. But in the West, we've not tended to emphasize the Holy Spirit well at all. So I am real big on bringing the power of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, because it is through the Holy Spirit that we actually have a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. And until we have that, all of the rest of it remains really good religion, but it's only religion, and it doesn't really explode in your heart and your soul. That power of the Holy Spirit is what we need. So that's another aspect of what I talk about, that personal encounter with Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit, and then all the rest of it makes sense. And, you know, we live in a time when this is just, I'm just going to be forthright here.
Sure.
And forgive me for saying this, but we have people on the right, the alt-right, and we have people on the left, and there shouldn't really be a right and left in the church in a divisive way. We have a right foot and a left foot in the body of Christ, and we need both to go forward.
Yep.
But we're tending to just focus on, oh, let's get our rubrics right. Let's really define orthodoxy strongly. And I'm all in favor of that, by the way. But the way you renew the church is through the power of the Holy Spirit and having that encounter with Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. What matters is that I have that personal encounter with Christ, and I'm on fire for Jesus Christ, and I learn how to love people and forgive people. That's authentic Catholic revival.
Well, I know that your music certainly helps people enter into that encounter. Was it music that caused you to have that conversion or personal encounter with Christ?
No.
Really?
No, I'm a musician. Music is just a part of my life. For me, music is like getting up in the morning and having breakfast.
Okay.
So I guess it was. Music was more the way I expressed it.
Okay.
But my personal encounter with Jesus happened from going out on a farm in Indiana and reading my Bible and then praying every night. God, who are you, a he, a she, or an it? I was in search mode. I searched for Christ for a year and a half. I got no answer. I was reading Buddhist material, Hindu material, Taoist material, Confucianist material, Muslim material, Jewish material, Kabbalah, and the Sufis, and, you know, I was reading the Greek philosophers, and I was just going, okay, all these guys are talking about some kind of divine, some kind of other experience that changed their life. What is it? Who is it?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so I just prayed and prayed and prayed. And finally, after a year and a half of praying in a hotel room while I was in my band, Mason Prophet, I had an encounter with Jesus. And it was personal. It was powerful. It was life-changing. There was no theology involved in it at that point. I've since studied theology, but back then it didn't have much to do with it. I just knew that God loved me, and I was being loved in the person of Jesus Christ, and my sins were forgiven. I didn't understand the cross. I didn't understand any of that. I discovered that later. What I understood was Jesus forgave me my sins. And in my young rock and roll life, they were stacking up.
Mm-hmm.
So a weight came off my shoulders. I was born again. I had an encounter with God through the person of Jesus, and so that's how it happened with me. And then I went on from there. That was 1971. I didn't become a Catholic until 1978. So there was a 7-year period there of really kind of within Christianity, getting to know all kinds of different groups and movements. I mean, I'm up here doing this interview with you in Amish country.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I checked out the Mennonites. I checked out the Amish. I almost joined them. You know, I was looking at everything and everybody. So my journey to the church was a long journey, you know, and a beautiful one. And I actually learned to love everybody I encountered. And the word Catholic is Catholicos in Greek, and it means universal and full. So in the church, without becoming synchronistic, we take the best of every religious expression and every Christian expression. We take the best and bring it together into a Catholic abundant whole that works. And so when I first became a Catholic, and I was with Franciscan friars, and it was a real liberal time in the church. It was 1978. So I felt like saying, well, gosh, guys, if you want to become a liberal Protestant, I've done that. I know the pastor. I'll introduce you. But please don't tell me that I've got to become like something I just left, when, in fact, I actually believe this Catholic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me, the Catholic Church is not just about getting liberal theology or conservative theology. I'm a conservative, but I'm also very moderately conservative. I believe it's about bringing the best of everything together in and through the person of Jesus Christ, doing that in a way that is biblical, in a way that is patristically founded, in a way that is under the teaching authority of the church through our bishops and through our pope. And for me, that's the way the whole thing hangs together. And it disturbs my spirit, St. Bridget, when I see people breaking so far to the left and so far to the right that they really threaten to shatter or break off for themselves from the greater church.
Well, John, you have some really wonderful resources, and a new venture that you're getting into is called the Inner Room School of Spirituality, and that kind of ties in with your new album, The Inner Room. Is that a fair statement there?
That's a fair statement. So everybody go out and buy my records and buy my books. I have a new book out right now on St. Francis called Francis of Assisi's Sermon on the Mount. It's on the admonitions. I have 5 books coming out in 2 years. I mean, a lot of books. And I'm doing this Inner Room subscription online school of spirituality. So I'm getting older, and I can't bang around the United States anymore, traveling and around the world the way I used to. So I'm really feeling called in renewal to spend more time in prayer and solitude and silence. But I want to continue with my music ministry and with a teaching ministry. So we are bringing this online subscription school. And it'll start at the beginning of December. You can sign up at after Thanksgiving, but you can go online to www.johnmichaeltalbot.com and go to the School of Spirituality, and you can sign up now, and we'll get you all the information when the time comes. It'll be a really, really good professionally shot video, singing and teaching once a week, complete with a book. So we'll go through some of my books and some of my songs, and then there'll be an outline, an in-depth outline that goes through all the scripture and patristics behind all of it. And then there'll be discussion questions, and then you become part of an online community. Right now we have about 1,500 people. I think by the time they actually sign up, it's going to be less than that, because some people won't probably be able to afford it. So we're probably going to be about 1,000 people. We'd like to get more. And so you become a community amongst yourselves, and I check into that community and participate as well. So it's a wonderful, wonderful new way to do a deeper teaching that goes deeper and deeper than what you can maybe get just from a live presentation in a parish, which is only, you know, 45 minutes to an hour and a half.
I can't believe it, John. We're already out of time, but for people who want to see John Michael Talbot, he is going to be here in the Indianapolis metro area September 22nd. That's a Sunday at 2 p.m. at Tipton High School Auditorium. For tickets, you can go to stjohnstipton.com, and for more resources for John Michael Talbot or to get his new album, The Inner Room, you can go to www.johnmichaeltalbot.com. So thank you so much, John Michael, for being our guest today. We can't wait to see you.
Thank you, Bridget. Thank you, Jim.
Face of God.